live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 172. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, as always. Always as well, joined by my man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Doing all right, man. Lovely day here in the Circle City. Well, at least weather-wise. But I'm doing all right, man. I know we got an excellent show for everybody to listen to tonight, man. So, without further ado, man, just give us a rundown.
Yeah. Happy holidays. We had the off week last week. So we are back from the holiday to roll. Big show this evening. We have NBA Finals talk. Obviously, we've got the game four this evening, the NBA Finals, Phoenix Suns, Milwaukee Bucks. We've got that. We've got some off-season NBA talk, some rumor mill going around. We've got Pacers talk. Got the United States Olympic dream team getting canceled, and then maybe they're okay. So we'll see what Boxing Team USA, what they should get, what they shouldn't. We've got MLB, John. MLB All-Star break is going on currently. We had the Harlem Derby and the All-Star game last night. So we've got some thoughts on that and how I'm going to got a little say later on how I think baseball is in the right spot right now on where they're at. More on that. Also got a little bit quick thirst this evening. We've got a huge super team chat. I went down on Facebook last week or so on considering what super team, what's not. Our guy Decott will be calling in later on. He's got something for Jonathan. We'll be talking Conor McGregor. We've got some pop culture news as well that we'll talk about. Also, we got an interview, special interview, recurring guest of the program, Danny Light, a former of AEW Wrestling, also of MLW Wrestling as well, and actor as well. Danny Light has got a new movie coming out, Joe Riv. We'll talk to him later on this evening around the 7 o'clock hour to catch up with him. And I will say, right after he got off with us last time is when he went to AEW, so maybe we were good luck charm for him. Not saying that he can't do it on his own, but... hey, Crossroads, give us a little bit of a plug there. So, all that, much, much more tonight, jam-packed episode, John.
I know you want to deep dive in real quick, man. So, the hot topic of everybody's mind is basketball. It just kind of depends which basketball topic you want to talk about first. You want to talk playoffs or you want to talk Olympics? Or you want to talk Major League Baseball? I'm sorry, I can't front on that. That was pretty, So whichever one you want to go through.
Yeah, let's go. We'll go through Major Baseball real quick. Yeah, this past weekend, this past days, MLB had their big all-star festivities in Colorado. The Home Run Derby won Pete Alonso. Shohei Ohtani was the big name that everybody put in and jammed in our throats. He's the next Babe Ruth, which I think they put the brakes on that. I think it's more the fact that he can pitch and hit together. But Ohtani, who was the favorite to win the Home Run Derby, obviously did not win the Home Run Derby. Had monster shots, a couple of them. Some people are a fan of the way they do it with the time thing. Hey, more traditional, you get 10 outs. You get 10 outs, and once you're out, you're out. You're not rushed with it. I prefer that route. It's okay. You get more home runs with it, I guess, is the thing. And the timer count and trying to get as many swings as you can. It's okay, I guess. But Pete Alonso wins his second straight derby, the Mets, and Vlad Guerrero Jr. last night in the All-Star game, huge home run in the fourth inning, lift the American League to a 5-2 win. National League bases loaded, 9 men on last night. National League going 2 runs. AL dominates again. They get their 8th straight All-Star game victory for the American League. But, John, you got the likes of youngsters. The youngster movement going on with Vlad Guerrero Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr. A lot of these young guys right now where baseball needs to do everything they can to continue to market guys, to push these guys. The game and the All-Star Home Run were huge hits. Huge hits. Now Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred need to go in and push this second half of the season to say, hey, watch baseball, watch baseball. We've got the trade deadline coming up. We've just had the MLB draft, which was put on a Sunday evening when they could have easily done that either today on an off day and all eyes could have been on it, or they could have done maybe the first 10 picks before the Home Run Derby started on Monday night. Because there were some big names up in the College World Series that people have known, Jack Leiter and from Vanderbilt, and they're in that process of moving forward, but it seems like Major League takes a step back every so often. When they had that opportunity, going away from the 7-inning doubleheader, which is good. Good to see that. And also, they are away from the extra the base runner on second base to start the 10th inning in the extras. Fun way with that from next year. But just as baseball starts getting going, they kind of trip over their own feet.
That's actually a little bit better take than what Stephen A. had. And I know we won't deep dive in that. But this controversial, quote unquote, controversial comments that he made about how baseball should be marketing itself. Brandon, there was a lot of things. It wasn't necessarily 2012. You know what I'm saying? One of the highly rated All-Star games. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't necessarily the 2012 All-Star game, but this was definitely one that people should have been paying attention to. It's 5-2. A lot of stars, a lot of young name stars come about in this game. Whether it's like you alluded to, whether it's Vlad Guerrero Jr. or even Ohtani, you know what I'm saying, who was the center of said controversy with Stephen A. There was other big moments here over the past 2 days. In this All-Star break, they had standing ovation for Arenado. I know I'm messing up. For Nolan Arenado. I know I'm jacking up his name.
Arenado.
He got a standing ovation. Shame on me for not being able to pronounce his name right. But like standing ovation for him. Who was the MVP? MVP was Vlad because he had the moon rocket that he sent like 500 feet into the air.
Ovation for his wife.
Yep. And then you had Walsh, who basically saved the game with the great catch. So
that was amazing.
We got to add a guest. Calm down. We got to add a guest for tonight's show. So it was great. And then the hell, I how can I forget Pete Alonso being in one of the first time? Well, not necessarily the first time back-to-back winner, but you know he joined some great company in Ken Griffey Jr. and Cespedes. So you know what I'm saying, winning Home Run Derby back-to-back years. So a lot of names new names and new faces that the Major League Baseball can kind of wrap its marketing around and then get the name out. Because, again, you know what I'm saying, if you think about it, Brandon, the whole summer, past two summers have been about players versus owners and lockout and talks of lockout and all that. Even with the COVID 19 pandemic, they still was talking about are we going to play that type of stuff. So I don't know. I just thought it was a whole lot of great stories that kind of came out of this past 2 days of the Major League All Star event. I don't know. I haven't seen the ratings or anything like that. Hell, I had even Mancini, who had I think he had third stage colon cancer. He took Alfonso it was close till Pete Alfonso made it not close, but like again man great moments at this All-Star break. Again, I don't necessarily know the ratings if they were up or down or compared to any other.
I've got them here. Looks like they were just down in 2019. Just down.
Okay.
Which is weird.
Okay.
But you got to think now, and I hear a lot of people complaining, like, "Oh well, back in the day, everybody watched MLB All Star Game. I knew every player from every team, including the bench players. And now there's players you don't know." Well, hold on a second, everybody, because also back in the day, you didn't have a cell phone, you didn't have social media, you didn't have 50,000 ways to consume your information outside of baseball. Back in the day. John, you can do this better than I can. I believe when the baseball All-Star game was on, there was only like three channels. So it was one of the channels. Now you see all the channels. So
right.
I have a response from people and I say, I don't think much of it. Baseball it's got a great race coming up. I'm looking forward to it. Boston Red Sox were the one of the worst teams last year. Getting out Jimmy Cora, or Alex, excuse me, back as your manager. They're right now in the East. The Yankees have been suffering. Three games of 500 now, and then fourth. You got the White Sox that are running Central right now. The Astros, who, by the way, them all protesting not going to the game because they were afraid to get booed. Maybe the softest thing I've ever seen for a team to ever do. So, but a bunch of soft asses down there in Houston. But the Mets, I think the NFC East is going to look good on the stretch with the Mets playing well. The Braves won down. They just lost Ronald Acuña Jr. to a torn ACL. Trouble there. But Central, you got the Reds and the Brewers. Reds are coming on. Cubs are slacking late. 2-8, their last 10. They look like buyers for the All-Star break. Now they're going to be sellers. Chris Bryant, they were talking with him last night. It's almost like the writing's on the wall before the trade deadline in the month that he'll be traded. And how about the San Francisco Giants, who was also one of the worst teams? They have the Major League Baseball best record right now, 57-32, ahead of the Dodgers. That's going to be – even the Padres, like, they're good. Yeah. Giants, Dodgers, Padres, I can't wait for that race. It's looking great. I will say, John, in the draft, I did see a first. I don't know if you saw it. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim were the first team in history in the Major League Baseball draft. It's 20 rounds. Okay, so it's a long draft and everything. John, they used all 20 of their draft picks on pitchers. 20 draft picks, 20 pitchers.
Exactly. Right, that way they feel like they can't mess it up. Yeah.
So, thoughts on second baseball?
Thoughts on the second half of baseball?
Yeah.
You kind of hit on the nail on the head. I think the Giants or the Dodgers, somebody out of that division, is probably going to win the World Series. Definitely. Well, I mean, I know I'm leaping jumping the gun here just a little bit. They'll represent the National League for sure. But I think either the Giants or the Dodgers will win the World Series. Again, that was some wax sauce that Houston did. You know, they had all-stars to go. You know, you can't make anybody, you know what I'm saying, in this particular climate of culture, can't make anybody necessarily do anything if they feel in some way threatened, right? You know what I'm saying? But, like, booing is a part of the game. Booing and cheering is part of the game. So unless they were getting anything it is possible, and I'm not saying, but if this was unreported, so I'm just throwing it out there, but unless they were getting anything like death threats or anything like that, they should have played. I'd say they should have played. The Astros should have sent their representative should have played. I know they cash their checks. They get there. Everybody gets the All-Star check or some type of bonus. So I know they cash their checks. So
absolutely. Looking, D-Cock taking calls probably about the 6:30 segment or after 7:25 we'll be taking calls this evening. So those are your two times you can call in. John, NBA Finals, Suns and Bucks. Suns lead the series 2-1 right now. 4 tonight in Milwaukee. Bucks looking to tie it up. Bucks looked last game. Bucks have looked like they figured out how to adjust the Phoenix defense. Giannis ball. And Giannis still scoring on it. Now can Phoenix counter tonight, make those adjustments, keep DeAndre out of foul trouble? Because to me, John, I feel like this is a must-win for Phoenix if they want to win the series. Because if they win this, I think they've got the series wrapped up. They go up 3-1. I really do. If they can knock this one off tonight. But I think Milwaukee ends up winning tonight. Looked like he finally played a little bit of what his max contract says he is. Remember, he's earning $34 million a year for max deal for him. So, looked like he was playing well. And Giannis, kind of, John, I was talking to a buddy at work. He said Giannis looked like in game 3 that he just turned on the switch and his body language looked like, and his teammates were like, oh, we're on this. He's got this. And Giannis just couldn't be stopped. I think there's a switch that's been turned. Now, the worst person ever to make adjustments is Budenholzer, but Giannis, I think, and then the right changes that they needed to. What Phoenix does tonight, I don't know. Do they think Devin Booker's going to have a horrible shooting night? No, I don't think so. But I do think it's going to be a closer game than what the last one was between these two teams. But I think Milwaukee ties it up tonight.
I think Milwaukee ties it up. I think Giannis just don't necessarily think too much about the jump shot that is there or isn't there. At home, he's a little bit – obviously he's a little bit better at hitting the free throws because you don't have the crowd, you know what I'm saying, on his in his ear, in his head, you know what I'm saying, with the countdown. You know what I'm saying? The Milwaukee crowd doesn't care less as long as he hits them, right? So we're getting some prime time Giannis, you know what I'm saying, Clay. You know what I'm saying, he's averaging like 35, almost 40 points a game in the last three games or so. You know what I'm saying? He's in rare categories with guys like, you know, as far as finals appearances like Shaq and Michael Jordan. Again, he doesn't necessarily – I'm talking from – and even Al Iverson. So just kind of throwing out, you know what I'm saying, what kind of rarefied air Giannis is kind of in his ability with what he's playing at. So with the Milwaukee Bucks, as it always been, it has to be like what is going to get from his I won't say sidekicks, that's terrible. What's he going to get from his teammates? Is it going to be Drew Holiday that can finish at the rim or that doesn't turn the ball over constantly? Or is it going to be a Chris Middleton that shows up? Chris Middleton shows up for sure. Or is it going to be a Blake Lopez? It's going to be a Brook Lopez that plays passive. You know what I'm saying? You can't just be out there. Yes, Chris Paul is, you know what I'm saying, and Devin Booker, they run around and they do great things as guards because it's a guard. Then the rules have changed now to suit the guards. But, you know what I'm saying, Lopez, you know what I'm saying, you have to, on the offensive end, you have to punish them. They can't guard you there.
Right.
They go 6'3", 6'4". You 7 foot of everything. So, and we got, they've got a lot of inside play. Got some great play from Portis as well off the bench. And then like the other parts, you know what I'm saying, if Forbes could hit some shots, that'd be a plus to the Bucks. But, you know what I'm saying, him and Connaughton as rotation players have done their due diligence by playing solid defense and not making bad fouls. And still, they need to hit some shots, right? You know what I'm saying, get some shots to go down for them.
Right.
Like, they're solid. They play solid rotation defense and been key off the bench for the Bucks. On the Phoenix side, man, you can't take away from what Chris Paul has kind of put together. If Phoenix does win this series and does ultimately win the NBA championship, he'll probably be the MVP of these finals. Which
gotta get
the
free throw line more.
But Devin Booker just is kind of shown that I'm not saying not necessarily ready for these type of moments, but you have to be as good as and sharp as you are at home, as you are on the road, as you are at home. He hasn't been. If anybody remembers that first two Lakers game where he was like unconscious, right when he played when the Suns played the Lakers in the first round. I know that was like 1,000 years ago now, but like he was unconscious. He was keyed in. He has to get that same kind of drive and key and looking at the basket. They have. And all that being said, Milwaukee has made an adjustment, and they've kind of denied him and putting him in poor, you know what I'm saying, shot selection situations. So he just got to – and, you know, I'm not going to go to the conversation like who team it is, Brandon, but, like, ultimately he has to deliver as well. It can't just be Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton out there, you know what I'm saying. He's asked to score, you know what I'm saying, just as much as they are. So
right.
if they can cure that, then Phoenix turns this back into their favor. But with all that being said, I wouldn't be shocked. I'm going out on a limb here. I wouldn't be shocked if Milwaukee wins the next two games. Still not saying they're going to win the whole thing, because I still said Phoenix, you know what I'm saying, with them having home court advantage, and I think still them having the deeper they went out to win the game. Milwaukee, for whatever reason, man, Budenholzer, I know you're a fan of him, man. I just want to sometimes throw a rock at the TV when I see him coach, man. It takes him a game to come up with the adjustments instead of having great – he's not a great in-game adjustment guy. I think he's a good coach, but he's not a great in-game. You know, so when the chips are down, he's like, all right, man, remember, we got another game. I'm like, dude, man, you got some more staff out there. You got to come with a better thing than we got another – you know what I'm saying? So, but they have made some adjustments from game one and game two defensively and offensively. And like I said – sometimes, though, Brandon, he just, you know, like, think about it, man. I want to talk about, you know what I'm saying, I don't want to dominate the conversation. I just, you know, like, challenges. Like, you have them for a particular reason, but then you don't use them when you should. You challenge the obvious play that's in favor for the Suns and basically burn the timeout when, like, and then you don't challenge something where, you know, it's just infuriating. It's just frustrating for me as a fan. I'm an analyst as well, but you know, my team, you know, saying my inner fandom is the Pacers, right? But you know, saying he just doesn't make great calls, man. So like the dunk that Cam Johnson did, that was a poster. I wish if I was still could have it, collect the posters, I'd have it, right? That he dunked on PJ Tucker. He challenged the call. The call, like, the call was an and one, which was what it was. He challenged it and said it was a charge. But, man, dude, nobody in America of the 30 million people watching and or in the arena, you know what I'm saying, thought that it was a charge, man. So, again, I still edge the coaching, you know what I'm saying, to Phoenix's way, man, because I just don't trust Budenholzer. But ultimately, you know what I'm saying, the players decided the game on the, you know what I'm saying, they decided the game that we see on the floor. So, but I wouldn't be surprised with all that being said. You know what I'm saying? This team, the Bucks, once they kind of figure out a team, now it's on them. It's now for Phoenix to make adjustment. And like, I think the adjustment is for basically Devin Booker to get that hot hand back. Otherwise, mm-hmm. it's going to be a long night in the paint for the Suns, and because they don't really have, as much as great as DeAndre Ayton is, they don't really have anything to back him up. Once he gets tired and has to go sit down, or if he gets in foul trouble, like Giannis and Brook Lopez, when Brook Lopez is geared in into playing inside game, they have nothing inside. Phoenix doesn't have anything inside that can combat it. So, but like I said, I got the Bucks winning for sure tonight, and I wouldn't be surprised if they win the next two games.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see. Oh, you think the next two? You think they win game 4 or 5?
Yes. That's right.
Wow! First you did Milwaukee, and you called them out. And now you're rolling with them. Interesting to see. Team USA, John. Team USA lost to Nigeria, lost to Australia. They went yesterday afternoon and beat Argentina by 20. Argentina, a good squad. I know this team has seen some players and some random ass select players playing in this game as well, but Team USA, John, I expect them to play a hell of a lot better once they actually get to the Olympics and get past these exhibition games, but they need a true point guard. They don't have a true point guard. If you look at these other Olympics, now you got Dame Dollar that's running the point. Dame's not a point guard. Dame's more of a shooting guard. That role there. He's not the one to facilitate the offense. You've had in the past, Parsay and Allen Iverson, a Jason Kidd, a Kyrie Irving type that can facilitate. Jason Kidd, if you remember back when he was in the Olympics, he won the gold medal. I don't even think he took more than one shot a game. He was best facilitating that offense. This team needs a point guard. They need to start playing defense. Kevin Love, I know we both had our heads scratched as why Kevin Love was in this roster. When they really probably needed to put Zion or Julius Randle on the team in those spots. Those two have more deserved it, and get Zion, a young kid in there that can play a couple more Olympics the next three. So that's over 12-year period. Getting Zion in there, Julius Randle, point guard, facilitated. Why not Lonzo Ball? I'm honest. Why not Lonzo Ball, who can facilitate in there as a point guard, run this offense, get these shots for Dame and all them? Why they didn't do that, I have no clue. Also, before I go to you on this, I want to talk. I'm looking at our Facebook Live audience, so I'm saying this. What the hell, if this was LeBron James running this Olympic team and they lost the first two games, PN, every Fox Sports, every NBC, every Sports Illustrated, every single sports radio talk show and TV show in the world would not have this as their top story. LeBron and the can't get the Olympic team. Skip Bayless would be saying, LeBron, he flopped, he can't win, Team USA, he's letting them down. Skip, Shannon will be right. Well, why the hell Kevin Durant get a pass on this? If we're going to sit there And you know damn well they bitching about LeBron on this, saying, well, LeBron, yep. Team can't be done. LeBron, look at that. Oh, what about KD? This is KD's Olympic team. He's the main in charge of it over here. Look at him. Why are we giving him a pass? I don't get it. I don't get it. Because LeBron would be crucified.
He would have been. He would have been. Right up there with Barabbas. Inside joke. But, like, nah. Man, Brandon, I don't know about that, man. I do listen to other pundits and other analysts, man, and I think it was Colin's show. And he's just kind of said, you know, he's kind of snarky. He just said Kevin Durant's just not LeBron James. You know what I'm saying? Not off the court, not on the court. Yes, he has all these accolades. Yes, he's a good, you know, fantastic scorer. But he's not LeBron James. With that being said, the pass has already been put out. You can't, you know what I'm saying? Then, you know, I think the team is more embarrassed by the media critique, by, you know what I'm saying, the constant media critique and ESPN's asking, you know what I'm saying, First Take and asking the morning guys. And then, you know what I'm saying, they know that all eyes are on them now. You also got to understand, Brandon, that it's more important to some of these guys. And I know it's going to be like, wow. It's not 1992 anymore, you know what I'm saying, where, you know, the first U.S. Olympic dream team and, you know what I'm saying, we got pro players who could, you know what I'm saying, represent the country and, you know what I'm saying, they had some nationalistic pride in going with that to add to their resumes. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and even Michael Jordan at the time, they had already won their NBA titles, and this was just like more icing on the cake, if not, you know what I'm saying, whipped cream, you know what I mean, or in a cherry on top, right? So, but like we built this culture, sports culture. I'm not making no excuses for him. It is what it is. We put the sports culture where it's more important to win an NBA title than an Olympic gold medal. And it probably still is. It probably was back then, too. But these guys are not necessarily worried about the cherry on top. They're more so worried about if I can get to that max, super max contract. More so they are. Think about it, Brandon. Remember when they was running those jokes and, like, all Carmelo's the greatest Olympic, you know what I'm saying, basketball
That's
player?
That's not a joke. That's you know the truth.
It's the truth, but I'm saying people were, like, snickering about it. Like, man, he can't win it. He can't get it to, you know what I'm saying? But, like, dude, there's no shame in having three Olympic gold medals. There's no shame in being on three. I think it might be even four now I think about it. But you take the fact
most,
me on that.
Third in Olympic
and
history.
The most points. Right. I damn near think at some point he might want to, once his basketball days over, he might want to, you know, say, join Team USA as a advisor or even as a coach. You know what I'm saying? With I'm being fair with his experience. I know we can't, you know what I'm saying, we can't fathom seeing Carmelo out there right now with his, you know what I'm saying, especially when he does the three to the head, right? But, you know what I'm saying, he does know how to compete, knows how to win. And this is an important part of basketball. I know this country, I don't want to get political, you know, I don't believe in that, especially on a sports show, but with so things many divide, you know what I'm saying, division that we have in this country, you know, these guys that are on the Olympic team, they got to, you know what I'm saying, you out here representing America, you know what I'm saying, America, however much, you know what I'm saying, you think it ain't, it is yours too, and basketball is the NBA. The NBA, I tell you, they got the best basketball players in the world. Well, then you got to, when you put them out there, whoever it is, and they can, dude, I've heard them all, man, from this guy's show to that guy's show, you name them. They was like, well, this guy doesn't fit, and this guy over here. Those are excuses. We got the fastest, most athletic. I get what you're saying. You need a facilitator. At some point, Damian Lillard did play facilitator, and he wasn't always, like, come down and shoot from the logo. You know what I mean? He wasn't always that guy. At some point, some of these other guys, these ancillary parts, Jason Tatum was asked to do a back screen when he was at Duke, you know what I'm saying, before, you know, he got the keys to the city in Boston. You know what I'm saying? So at some point, guys had to defend either in the G League or NCAA tournament or whatever, you know what I'm saying, however they came up to get to this point to win a game. So we had the best players. And, you know what I'm saying, I think last night kind of showed it. They got tired of hearing the criticism. Again, though, with all that being said, Brandon, that world has kind of caught up just a little bit. Not a lot of it. Not enough that we should be losing to Australia or Nigeria. Because, again, they got NBA players. But they got NBA players who are like seventh and eighth men on rosters.
Matthew Dellavedova is not even in the league. And he was making it was like, cool.
Right. Well, international rules are a little bit different. We know this, but the rules are still the same. You still got to defend, and isolation does not necessarily play into plays into the hands of Luka.
Let me ask you this, it was asked to me about this earlier today. Do you think that, you know, obviously losing two games and not having LeBron out there, and pretty much it's Kevin Durant's team this year, and the past, like Carmelo and LeBron and Wade and, you know, all those people. But do you think it's people, obviously, they want to maybe go play with Kevin Durant on this Olympic team? It would be easier for LeBron with him if it was LeBron was on the team than Kevin Durant. I think it has a little bit of say to it. You have your Anthony Davis, and I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think they just thought they was gonna show up and they thought that everybody was gonna lay down for them. Like guys, they listen to these mythical stories of Charles Barkley or Karl Malone and them beating up. Remember Charles Barkley hitting my guy with the elbow? I think he was a basketball player from Kenya. And then they was all asking for his autograph during the game. Then they was all asking for his autograph afterwards. Man, nobody's teams are, like I said, the world of basketball has kind of. That division, that gap in talent has kind of shortened. That still is not an excuse because, again, Kevin Durant is a two-time playoff MVP, and he's also MVP of the league. Lillard and Beal are all-star guards. You know what I'm saying? At one point, you know what I'm saying, Bradley Beal, who's putting up 50 points, right, who's averaging 40 for like a month. Those are all excuses. You got the fastest team. You got to get out there and act like you're the fastest team. You got a team that can defend. You got to act like you got to defend. You can't just think that these teams are going to roll over. Luis Scola is 41 years old. He's playing for Argentina. These guys,
Scola is still balling.
Well, see, those guys are playing for national pride. And for the love of the game, and they also probably get a check too. But they're also playing for national pride. The USF team, they probably got called into check last two games when they lost to Australia and they lost to Nigeria, and then they ran into Argentina. When they play Iran next weekend, I do believe they're gonna blow out Iran as well. But when it gets a little bit harder, when they have to play the Fangs of the world, or they got to play, I'm trying to think of another team, the Lucas teams, the Serbians of the world, they're gonna have to play, and then the end result should be they win the game. It won't be by 40. It won't be like by 30, but it'll be a win. And that's all the Americans kind of want out of this.
Yeah, and Popovich being the asshole that he is. I put the thing on Facebook kind of candid. It was like, hey, we need to fire Pop. It's time for Pop to go. 9-4. Coach K only had two losses in all his Team USA matches. Popovich already lost four, so we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I also think. Oh, what was I going to say about Team USA? I forget what I had. I had something else with Team USA. What happened? Like I said, the Olympics start coming up. I think they'll be fine. Would I be shocked if there was another one, whether it be in group stage or the actual knockout tournament? I would not be surprised. I think it would come in group stage rather than the actual tournament. Anything less than a gold medal, though, is not good enough. You know, I hate to say that, but
I agree with that.
It's kind of what it is. You know, and yet I can say we don't have the best players. We don't have, and I'm going to bite my tongue for saying this, we have LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. I Paul in there because he was on the team 2016 previous Olympics. So Paul does have a gold medal there. But the fact that we don't have some of the big name guys with this team is interesting to see. So we'll see what happens there. Looking at the closer front, John, some talk. John Collins, expect to draw some interest from Mavericks, Heat, Wolves. He'll be a big free agent if Atlanta can't re-sign him. That'll be interesting to see there. And then Kawhi Leonard had his surgery on his ACL. It'd be interesting to see when he returns what's going to happen because he does have that player option. Will he return to the Clippers or will he not? So
I think Kawhi returns. I don't know about John Collins. going anywhere else other than Atlanta. But he'll definitely get entertaining offers from around the league for sure.
Okay. I'm going to hit a quick ad read. We come back, we'll talk more NBA, some quick hits of NBA, and talk to our local Indiana Pacers as well. And then we'll have our guy, Danny Limelight, on here in a little bit. So we'll be back after these messages.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Mavericks Motorsports. Ideas are created, dreams are born. Specialized in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, Jeep, trucks, and offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. John, they carry all worldwide. They carry all the top brands of the market. They do custom motorcycles, custom accessory installs, some LED lighting, custom wheels. They can do it. They do all that and more. They ship worldwide. It's easy to work with. Give them a call, 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-2828. Check them out at MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Right, we are back. Continuing on our NBA talk, John. The Houston Rockets, report is the Rockets are pursuing the number one pick in the draft. They've also discussed the Eric Gordon and some of these trade talks. So we'll be interested to see what Houston does if they move up from the number one or the number two pick to the number one. But then also on that front locally here, the Indiana Pacers are willing to trade the number 13 pick for some veteran help. And with that being said, the Houston Rockets are a team that come to the forefront here where the Rockets report they would trade Eric Gordon, who's that veteran presence that Indiana somehow would, for some god-awful reason, want to get from Houston with them in these. And maybe it's 23rd or 24th pick. And I don't know if I'm Indiana, if I'm going to take the 13th pick for Eric Gordon in the 23rd or 24th pick, I don't know if I would if I could go that route, John. I really don't, because you don't know what you
right.
I know. I understand you want some veteran presence, but there's got to be something else better that you can get veteran-wise for that 13th pick.
Well, you know, the Pacers are going to play it pocketbook safe. Even with Eric Gordon's injury-prone history, I don't necessarily think he won't end up in Detroit. And if he does, he'll get traded in some type of kooky trade, try to move up or whatever, and then he'll probably get cut. Because I don't foresee him ending his career or playing even 1 minute or one basketball game in Detroit. As far as Indiana, I know we talked about this a little bit off air. Eric Gordon kind of coming back here to offer a scoring boost, outside scoring boost for the Pacers. I entertain it. I need to see. If I'm you know, saying Kevin Pritchard or even head coach Rick Carlisle, I need to see what Eric Gordon kind of got left in the tank, and can he provide a spark off the bench, or again, man, you know, Eric Gordon should fill it up at any, you know, saying in his heyday, in his prime. But again, you know, he's often injured, and we, you know, I've said it on the show before, we're not into reclamation, necessarily reclamation projects right now with players when they was talking about bringing in when they were talking about trading Brogdon, potential trading Brogdon for Ben Simmons. You know what I'm saying? Pacers want to get back into playoff mode and deep playoff runs. And you know what I'm saying? That's kind of like what the goal, what I kind of foresee the goal for them being. There's going to be, there's going to be some type of trepidation where they trade maybe one or maybe even two players from the Pacers. I think Malcolm Brogdon will be in the head of that line. It's not, from what I understand, Rick Carlisle ain't it's not gung-ho in trade either, particularly Miles Turner or Sabonis. He wants to get his crack at having that. That's a bad headache to have. 2 7 foot, 6 foot 11 guy, and a 7 foot guy that can they have multi talented guys that can pass and rebound and, you know, and score, kind of score from the outside. You know what I'm saying? But again, we're not into this team's not necessarily into reclamation right now. I can see them trying to move up or even move it out like with the like I said, trying to get a veteran. I kind of thought Luke Williams. Because I know he's going to be maybe on the outs in Atlanta, just because of the numbers game and the players game, and the youth movement they kind of have going on right now with that particular team.
Do you think they're not happy with what they're seeing, the Pacers, like with the draft workouts come in?
No, they just don't want another young guy that they got to wait on 4 years from now or 3 years from now. You see what I'm saying? We can't. There's no way the Pacers can move up. Everybody doing the Pacers no favor and let them move up to like 2 or 3. That would be
right.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it? If we can move up to 2 or 3. So anybody else in the 13, 14, in the teens, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying they're necessarily vanilla guys, but they're probably gonna be some guys that potentially play a couple games, if not a season or even season and a half in the G League, or you know what I'm saying, have to sit and wait. You know what I'm saying? And you know, like I said, we already got a Goga Patasi that we kind of had to wait on. Right, and that's not needing necessarily to pick on him. There's some other, and even the kid from Duke, again, who didn't get a whole lot of tick last year, that you kind of campaigned for. Again, we're not necessarily, you know what I'm saying, without a lot of guys, we already kind of got to wait on already. So I think the Pacers just want a commodity they know that can come in and get production right away. And why not, you know what I'm saying, a hometown? I get it from that angle. Why not a hometown kid like Eric Gordon? But like I said, if Eric Gordon isn't 100% healthy and can't even give you 85% on or 70 or even like, you know, saying 65 to 70 games on an 82 game season, then you stay away from that trade scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at Eric Gordon real quick. Fast Eric Gordon charges 20 points. He did play in 27 games this year, John. So 27 of the 72 games they played in, and only shot, in a field percentage, he shot 32% from three, which was the second worst percentage in his career. So in the last 2 years, he's had his worst three percentage. So he hasn't even played more than 36 games the last 2 years. So is that something Indiana really wants to look at, go after and trade your, like, a little bit of value you got on a 13th? I sure as hell hope not. Because it's I really hope not. I guess him in a fresh car, maybe if they take that at a discounted price, maybe in Los Angeles with the Lakers,
right.
The Lakers needing some more scoring on that team. So I can definitely see Gordon go out there and getting that fresh start out there. Another trade I saw, John, rumored was between Charlotte and Indiana, where Charlotte would get Miles Turner. And the Pacers get P.J. Washington and the 11th pick. So you would trade Miles, you get P.J. Washington, the former Kentucky product, a little bit of size with him. You would then have the 11th and 3rd draft. Get somebody good, or maybe package those into another veteran with a little bit more skill. I don't know if I'm going to trade Miles for that.
Yeah, P.J. is a little bit more of a complimentary kind of guy. He can defend, obviously doesn't defend as well as Miles from a blocking standpoint. They rebound pretty much about the same. But he's a little bit better scorer. That's what we – and a dependable scorer than Miles Turner. But I have seen him also kind of check out of games when the going – chips got down, going got tough. But that might be – that might just be the culture they kind of have. And, like, the Charlotte Hornets have played better. They did play better in spurts this year. But I don't know. That's almost kind of like breaking even. And like I said, the Pacers want to move up, not break even. So I don't know about that. I don't know about that particular trade. Brandon, I'm kind of cool with them keeping the pick and going. If I know what they say they want. They want a guy right now. But you know, you never know. Some of these guys, the scouts are going to be off on. I know we talked about it. On Twitter, me, you, and our Pacers aficionado, Pacers guru Willie Martin, we kind of talked about it. Some of the names that they kind of had it working out, whether it was Trey Mann, the guard from Florida, or even Josh Giddey, the Austin 6'9" Australian point guard.
I don't want it.
Man.
I don't want it. That reminds me too much of TJ stuff. I don't want it. I don't want another white guy in the draft.
This kid ain't TJ Leaf. This kid ain't TJ Leaf, man.
I don't care. I don't want another white guy in the draft.
Oh, man, don't be like that. Don't be like that. Especially
what?
Don't be like that, man. That dude can play, but, again, he's a guy that's probably like 2 years down the road from being a great impact player. He'll be a rotation player.
There's only one starter, one impact player right now that I see in the draft that's in the Pacers' range. I think they could go in there and give them good, solid minutes and play, and that would be Mitchell from Baylor. That's the only guy in that range of players I see come in right now in Indiana and a factor. So if you have to trade for it, then trade for it.
That's hoping, but that's hoping that, like, you know, say New Orleans doesn't nab him at like pick 10. But yeah, I'm with you when you say Corey Kispert, but like the Josh Giddey kid can play.
Stop it. Stop it. And then the last one we talked about, it was reported last week. We had the show last week. We talked Pacers offered Malcolm Brogdon the first pick for Ben Simmons. 76ers said, "Up, oh, you're going to have to offer a little bit more of a all-star player than Malcolm Brogdon." So it's probably hurt Brogdon's feelings when he heard it, probably. But, man, I thought everything was going well here in Indiana, but apparently it did not go well. So Ben Simmons,
I want to run this on scenario. Who would you rather? So you're a team owner, right? And you have to. Would you rather? What's the bigger headache if you're a team owner, Ben Simmons or Unicorn down in Dallas? What's the bigger headache?
Unicorn.
What's the one that ain't gonna show up on you?
Unicorn.
So. The Van Scouten report, I don't know. Wouldn't that be – that would be like a dynamic backcourt, wouldn't it? Giannis, Ben Simmons and Luka Doncic. Wouldn't that be a dynamic? But, like,
we're not going to get Porzingis. We're going to go away from two bigs.
Nobody's going to trade Porzingis for Ben Simmons. You'd be crazy.
But you don't want you already getting rid of him.
Look at it, who got the shorter contract. Then that's kind of that you'd have to kind of play. And then if you could get additional assets from Philadelphia to kind of hedge that, well, we're taking on a lesser player now. No, we're taking on we're sending Dallas and sending, what can Philadelphia get back in return besides just, you know what I'm saying, Porzingis? That would be my concern. I think that would be a dynamic backcourt. But then you got another – you know what I'm saying? Not necessarily power struggle, but then you bring in another head case kind of player. Maybe Jason Kidd can get the best out of those guys. That's what I'm kind of thinking. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I don't know where Ben Simmons kind of falls. I was thinking about it yesterday. I don't know where Ben Simmons is all but traded, ladies and gentlemen. He's gone. Like, they're not going to – Philadelphia's not going to keep him at all. They just want an all-star level player back in return and probably some other assets. I thought about it. I was like, well, maybe Unicorn down in Dallas. Then you got this dynamic backcourt, you know what I'm saying, with Luka. Like, if Ben Simmons can't shoot, Luka Doncic will certainly shoot for him. I promise you. He will take shots away from anybody. No problem. He'll shoot it, right? I thought about a scenario that would send Ben Simmons to I'm trying to think, like, places other than, like, Nowheresville, like Orlando or Minnesota.
I think Miami.
That would be easy trades for him to get there. You said who, Miami?
Miami.
Pat Riley wants commitment, and he don't want nobody who ain't got it in between. Like, Ben, they'll find a weak sauce in this kid immediately between Jimmy Buckets and coach and general manager Pat Riley. So I don't necessarily know if he's ready for that environment down there in Miami. It'd be nice.
Latest.
They'd like to have him for sure.
Yeah, the latest I'm seeing right now is that the Kings and the Raptors are the additional teams interested in Ben Simmons. The Cavaliers, the Kings, the Raptors, those were the three top teams right now suitors for Ben Simmons. I can see it in Toronto. I do. So that could be a Ben Simmons, Kyle Lowry thing.
Yeah, he might want to push for that. So at least you have some type of basketball relevance. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to go to. Orlando's getting. Did they finally get their coach? They haven't even announced it. Like, you know what I'm saying? They said it was like a rumor mill that this was going to be the person. I think it's Jamal Mosley. I think.
Yeah.
But I don't think they haven't even officially. Did you see the parade or anything for it? Like, I'm talking the media parade. No. So again, you know, all right, what are they doing? Again, you don't want to go. That's basketball purgatory. Orlando, I'm sorry if anybody from Orlando's listening. It just is, man. Until Shaquille O'Neal and Penny Hardaway lift the curse, or Dennis Scott, whoever has the curse, or whoever got the
Nick
curse on Orlando Magic, so they lift the curse. Nick Anderson, yeah, whoever lifts the curse off the Orlando Magic, man. That just basketball purgatory, as well as the Minnesota Timberwolves, man. Like, you know, Kevin Durant and Kevin Love, they've sprinkled the Wooji on Minnesota, man. It's like an elite level G League team. He would want to, if I'm him and I'm his representation, his agent, whoever, manager, whatever. You would want to go. You don't want to go Sacramento. You don't want to go there. You would want to go to Toronto. At least Toronto will try to figure out how to win games. They want to win games. They do. They want to get to
Utah.
They want to get to the playoffs. Utah, but like, yeah, who you trade? Now you got to trade one of your big-time contracts. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, sitting on a big contract. Did he sign a big contract? Or is he still on a – is Simmons
man,
on a big contract?
Ben Simmons took the – man, he makes 40 – like two more years. He makes 33, I think, next year. And like last year, he makes like $40 million.
Yeah, 5 years, $167 million. Well, that's for the 76ers.
Yeah. So do you want? They're not gonna trade Gobert. They're not gonna swap Gobert from him. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? That wouldn't make best off sense. So there's behind the scenes talk that he's sort of a head case. He doesn't want to work on his game. He just wants to live off natural ability and all that's great. You know what I'm saying? But like, if I'm another team, if I'm him, and even if I'm another team, like. You know, sometimes some of these teams just want names so they can get fans and stuff and excitement to come to their games, right? And that's cool, you know what I mean, for some of those teams. But if I'm him, with him being an all-star, right, if you squint, he is all-star, but I'm saying a real all-star, right? With him, he could be a superstar if he would just shoot. I ain't saying he got to make the shot. He could shoot. Brandon, he could probably shoot 40% as long as he shoots. You know
right.
what I mean? And people were respecting him. Philadelphia would probably still be playing if he shot, right? Potentially, they still have to get to Milwaukee, right? But he doesn't want to.
28th player.
He doesn't want to go to basketball purgatory, Sacramento,
yeah.
Orlando, Minnesota.
Yeah, he's the 20th richest NBA player this season, 20th and ahead of the likes of Siakam, Joel Embiid, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Giannis. He makes more than Giannis and Gobert. It's interesting. Ben Simmons could end up going. Could he help out Indiana? I think, but God dang, I need to see him shoot a hell of a lot better. That guy looked scared and broken in the playoffs when he had that wide open layup and chose not to do it. That's just something that, you know, is it mental? I mean, this is the Chuck Knobloch thing where they couldn't throw from second base the first anymore, and he did it for 15 years. You know, there's some other players that have had that issue with different things. Nick Anderson, I just watched the Magic 30-30 again, and I totally spaced on him breaking four free throws and then didn't shoot above 52% free throw the rest of his career. He couldn't get easily past that when he was with Orlando. And the fact that they put a new incentive in his contract that he had to shoot, make a certain amount of free throws each game. Oh, man, poor Nick Anderson. I'd love to get him on the show, having to deal with something like that. that'd be a call, buddy. We'll get you on, but it's probably going to have to be at 7:30. We've got a guest in about 5 minutes that'll be coming on. So if you want to go back in at 7:30 or so, I would definitely get you on, Fred. With that, but yeah, John. And then here's another thing: Pacers point guards, Colin Sexton, obviously out of Cleveland, but he's on the move. Could Indiana look to try to get Colin Sexton as a true point guard? I said that Indiana needs a true point guard. that could be good. But I get scared with being your division rival. You don't want to give up too much, you know?
Right. Right. I like Sexton. He doesn't shy away from scoring. Cleveland just wasn't built right, man. Like I get it. The general manager and the owner, the owner must be making the picks again. You know what I'm saying? With having Garland and him Sexton, they both, you know what I'm saying, ball dominant point guards, it didn't necessarily make sense to draft those guys kind of in back to back years. They didn't necessarily make deals to get better. They had the highlight of their season this past season was beating the Brooklyn Nets. I think
that was the first game of Big Three.
Yeah, that was the highlight of their season. I just don't believe the team that they've assembled. They just collecting checks, man. You know what I'm saying? They dismissed our guy John Beilein prematurely. That turned real south real fast, and the team still didn't get better. So like, what do you do when you have a player revoked because they don't like the coach? Well, guess what? Probably because you got bad players as well. You know what I'm saying? Or bad connected players. That's what I mean. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
Could he end up here? We'd have to trade off another part. You know what I'm saying? Again, that's when those Malcolm Brogdon rumors about him leaving, probably even Lil Holiday leaving as well, would be in order to get Sexton as where that can probably even take – it might even take McConnell out of the equation as far as free agency if that all that kind of happens. So, I don't know. I'm not opposed to it. It's just – I don't know. He's been in a losing situation for quite some time. And like I said, the Pacers are trying to get to the level of – back to the level of playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Of living in the playoffs, second round. You know what I'm saying? First round wins, second round wins. You know what I'm saying? Advancement, championships. We'll see, but they're definitely trying to get into the advancement of the playoffs, like how things used to be in the Circle City. So I don't know. Again, I don't know if Sexton is their guy. I know the rumors.
Okay. Let me ask you this. It was brought up by Reggie Miller the other day on the Dick Patrick show that we have. You know, we've been changing. We got the new Elam ending that went well last 2 years with everything. Reggie said, you know, based on your year, you could do this every 3 years or every 2 years for your FIBA, your Olympic years, is to change it up and give it a little bit of different flair. Have your Team USA, have the players for your Team USA take on Team World, the best players of the world. You have a Giannis, you have a Luka against basically your 12-man Team USA roster. Is that something you would like to see? Would you be interested in seeing it? I kind of would.
Yeah,
be interested to see.
I kind of would. I don't know, man. We've kind of seen East versus West, and they've kind of, you know what I'm saying, gone away with that. And now we have, you know what I'm saying, players picking who they want to play with, and that's kind of cool too. But I wouldn't be opposed to it. I think the WNBA is kind of doing that right now. They, as the All-Star game for them kind of starts tonight, they play. They have the WNBA Olympic team versus the WNBA All-Stars. What Reggie's probably kind of alluding to is now you're seeing it'll still be an exhibition game, Brandon, but there'll be somebody still trying to win and not necessarily entertain. Like,
right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, basketball, unfortunately, is getting – sometimes it gets too much into the entertainment business. And that's – it's cool, you know, doing dunk contests, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to see the same old dunk or whatever, you know. But, like, you know, it's not entertainment. It's still a sport treated as such. You still have to be a level of combat. I'm not saying you're going to see hard fouls, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say nobody's going to foul out or be sending, you know what I'm saying, you know, or guys should be, you know, or ladies in this particular, you know what I'm saying, whatever, if should be taking charges or anything like that, right? But you'll see a better level of basketball where, because the Olympic team doesn't want to get embarrassed. And the All-Star team playing against the Olympic team, I wouldn't think they wouldn't want to get embarrassed either. They tell me, well, this is the Olympic team, well, sure, you know, let me see what I can do against who I didn't get picked for the Olympic team or whatever. So it might turn out for better, because everybody kind of checks out on the game. It'll be on, but after the 3-point contest, the skills challenge, and depending upon who's in the dunk contest, everybody just kind of checks out of the All-Star game. And after – let me ask you this, Brandon. Comparatively, we know the NFL's All-Star game is the Pro Bowl. It's impossible for them to be competitive, right? But the Major League Baseball and National Hockey League, their games are still a bit competitive. It's a lot of fun, right? Still around it, still entertainment, you know, vibe around it, but it's still competitive. Like, I still – those guys wanted to win the All-Star. The National League – I'm sorry, the American League won 8 All-Star games in a row. You know what I'm saying? So there's still some pride in winning. You know what I mean? And I think that's what Reggie Miller's kind of alluded to. We got to figure out how to way to make it more of less sports and more – I mean, yeah, more sports and less entertainment. So I would be with that tweak.
I think so. I think USA versus Team World in every three years, All-Star game, I think would be a good – I think you get viewership. And like you said, I think play a hell of a lot better and a lot more for bragging rights. Definitely for that. Hell, even – I don't know if you can't throw home court, but, I mean, throw in something, money or something for it, whatever. So,
right.
Whatever. All right, John, we've got our special guest on the phone here. Bring him on. The program, had him before, Monday Night Limelight, Danny Rivera. Danny Limelight, what's going on, my guy? Welcome back to the show, my guy. You've been everywhere.
Mi gente, what's going on, man? Thank you guys for having me back. You know what I'm saying? He's out here killing it, you know? What's good with y'all?
Good. Doing well. Enjoying summer.
Danny, you need to get – Danny, I'm glad you came back on, man. And before we get into, you know, the serious hardcore questions, man, dude, have you been – like, what's in your DNA? How do you keep so busy? Like, and I always ask you, do you ever sleep?
When I was a kid, man, I was bit by a radioactive spider, and I think that kind of just changed the game.
Yeah, no, man. You got to be one of the most busiest performers in wrestling, whether it's the independent scene or whatnot, man. So I think the last time we talked, this is right before maybe a week. Yeah, not even a week, maybe a couple of days before you made your AEW appearance, man. So I know you didn't have any jitters. I know you're too confident, if not cocky. I know you didn't have any jitters or anything like that. So let me ask you this, man. What was it like hitting that AEW curtain and going, you know what I'm saying, going out into you know, it's a bigger TV market?
Fucking insane, bro.
Let's go. I'm talking about.
The easiest way I could explain it, bro, it was wild, man. Like, you know, you dream of it as a kid. And when you start this business and you start wrestling, you dream in the moment you can make your debut on TV, period, you know? Unfortunately, I did that my first year in the business of championship wrestling from Hollywood. But then you dream of the big leagues, you know? You dream of that AEW, that WWE, that New Japan, that Impact. You want to wrestle for these companies, MLW, you know, like NWA. You can hit Ring of Honor. It goes on and on. You know, those are like the companies you want to wrestle for, AAA.
Right.
And, you know, I've wrestled for AAA. I've wrestled for Impact. I've wrestled for AEW. I've wrestled for MLW, you know. Like, I'm hitting all the major companies that I wanted to do as a kid, or, you know, I should say as a kid in the business is what I meant to say. And, you know, it was just next level, you know. Even, you know, the New Japan Strong stuff, you know, I haven't been overseas yet, but just wrestling for New Japan here in America is amazing as well. So, it was so much fun. It was an incredible year. You know, I think when we had talked last, I had just finished the Lion's Break Crown Tournament with Clark Connors, which was a match of the year candidate, you know. And then I went on to become the 2020 SoCal Wrestler of the Year. I went on to become the 2020 Most Outstanding Wrestler in SoCal. So, you know, I've been busy. You know, I won the United Wrestling Network Tag Team Championship with the Bodega. I was able to do, you know, all these things that a lot of people couldn't, you know, in the pandemic. And definitely was my coming out year. You know, I broke out into really getting myself out there. And now this past weekend, you know, making my debut with MLW, man, shit's jumping. You know, the new LAX is in the fucking building.
Just move. Love it.
I want to touch on that. You got a question, Brandon?
Well, I was just going to say, what? You know, I would say watching you and AEW, you know, leading up to MLW, you know, Jonathan, I mean, literally, like right after we did the show, you went on AEW. I told John, I said, we got him at the perfect time. I know John said, hey, we need to get you now because you're going to be so big that we ain't going to be able to get you in the future. But my favorite match, I think, of course, Danny, that I loved was when you took on, I'm going to fuck his name. I know I'm going to Katochi.
That was my favorite match ever, man.
The move that you guys did, the close finishes, even though the wrestlers, other outside wrestlers around the ring, but they were so bought into it. And if the live crowd there, that would have been insane.
Oh yeah, I tell myself there was this time in the match where he hit me with this pop up power bomb, right? And we were laying there, and the fans, really the workers that are there, right? They start chanting, "This is awesome!" And it's electric. And in my head, I'm like, "This is a real chant. Like, this is real. It's not them just fucking saying it, you know?" And I was like, "If this was a sold out building, this place would be going fucking insane right now."
For sure. Yeah, definitely.
So, go ahead, Brent.
Not a ton, you go ahead.
So, Danny, you know, over the past year, it has been fanless, man. Do you feel like, I know you still, you know, you got to seize the moment, take the opportunity. Do you feel like it would have been a little bit different, how people kind of view you now as far as your career? If we didn't have to go through the pandemic and there were more fans, I know it's opening back up now. So, do you feel like, you would be in a better spot if you had more fans and you get more pops?
I don't know, man. You know, honestly, bro, I feel like everything happens for you, you know? And I think that who knows what would have happened if the pandemic never happened, you know, if wrestlers couldn't travel, if certain people couldn't go because they were high risk, they had high risk family members, you know, that left open a lot of opportunities for a lot of people that were hungry but that hadn't gotten a chance yet, you know?
Gotcha.
And so, it sucks that the pandemic, happened, and I'm sure that it sucks for a lot of people who lost jobs and things like that. Like, I feel bad for them, I wish that they didn't have to go through that. But for me, it was a blessing in disguise, man. I betted on myself. I went all in, and, no pun intended. And I, made a name for myself, and I felt like my work ethic was relentless. I was trying to steal the show every. There was weeks where I was wrestling on Elevation, Dark, New Japan Strong, and Hollywood in the same week. Four TV channels, four times in a week, three different companies. Like, there's nobody else doing that. There's nobody else that was doing that. Yet Kenta walked through the Forbidden Door, Moxley walked through it, but I was doing it every week.
Right. Right.
And how important was that to keep kind of your free agency where you're able to go and do that? You're not just tied down to one organization.
Well, I signed with AEW, in January under the Tier Zero contract, and they had still allowed me to wrestle with New Japan because obviously, they have good, everything's gravy over there. I don't know all the details, but it's all good over there, and I was still able to work with New Japan and be part of Team Filthy and do my thing with Tom Lawler and those guys, and then, come over and wrestle AEW, and it was awesome, man. I wasn't really taking indie bookings. I was being real picky. I had a lot of people trying to book me, and I just kept saying no to everybody. I wanted to, make my appearances mean something. I'm not saying that it would not meant something at those indie shows, but I was a TV wrestler, and I wanted to stay on TV. I wanted people to tune in to see me, And so I think that kind of, it helped me. It kind of made people want to see me, They looked forward to Elevation because it was Monday Night Limelight, My face was on the intro and was having the best matches, trying to at least. And, they wanted to tune into Dark if I was on Dark. Or watch me on New Japan Strong, Team Filthy, they're the hottest thing on New Japan Strong. So everybody wants to see us, I think that it was important for me to do it that way. And I think that it paid off in the long run.
Yeah, I will say that your entrance music for AEW, the Magenta, that's fire. And it speaks of the lyrics, and whoever came up with that with you, that's awesome.
Yeah, dude, it's called Mi Gente. It means my people. Yeah. And in the beginning, I'm screaming, Mi Gente! And that was all Mikey Ruckus and Blast, Blast from New York, Puerto Rican rapper. Mm-hmm. He also did Proud and Powerfuls. But, I had hit Mikey up when they were working on my theme, and I told him, I said, man, I want the Big Pun vibe. Please, give me some Big Pun vibe. And him and Blast, man, they killed it, you know. Just the chorus was about me, the way they talked about it, you know, South Stone. He mentioned South Stone. He mentioned me walking the ropes with ease. Let it test your rosaries. Target family is everything, you know, making it as me. Like, all the lines, the bars he was dropping, I was like, man, this shit is fire. You know, I wish that, you know, that I actually talked to him, you know. I'm trying to come up with a new indie theme if I don't, you know, whatever. But
So just for AC then, or do you have rights to use it for other places?
No, I'm pretty sure that was for AEW only. Like, I don't, you know.
Damn.
So.
Right.
Just make another one then. There we go. But
yeah,
so
he's a fire rapper. I'm sure he got bars today.
Oh yeah, for sure. What would you say? And I know John kind of mentioned that earlier, but that year or so that you've been in AEW with everything, what was your favorite memory you had of there? Or was like, wow, this is badass. We saw you, you went to the fans during the Dynamite. You had Dynamite matches that you watched. What was your favorite moment or story that you had that past year?
Man, you know, wrestling Kenny on Dynamite,
mm-hmm.
in my debut
okay.
on Dynamite, that was pretty insane. Wrestling Moxley in the main event of Elevation.
Okay.
You know, the sit-down interview, Paul White, you know, being
yeah.
able to sit there and talk to Paul White and tell my story. I feel like a lot of people got to see who I am. I thought that
right.
was important. I do feel like I have a very different story than most, so it was cool to get that out there, you know. I had a lot of fun, man. Tony Khan is awesome. I think that he has the right passion for this business, and he's an amazing human, you know, and I think that, you know, I have no complaints. I had a great time, man, and you never know what happens in the future, you know?
You made
absolutely.
You made your debut this weekend working with another former great. You call him a triple OG in the game, Conan. I've watched Conan. I'm not as old as Conan, but I've watched Conan since the late 80s, with his work in the WWE, and obviously, when he first came to WCW, and even on the mic, man. So what has that experience kind of been like, just getting that rub of working with him?
Man, same, bro, because I tell you what, man, Conan was one of the first guys that brought me to a big company, you know. He was the one that came and got me from San Diego and brought me to the Crash in Mexico to wrestle in front of 5,000 people, open the show with, you know, Hijo del Santo on the main, you know, Rey Fénix, Penta was on the card, Lince Dorado was on the card right after the Cruiserweight Classic, you know, Willie Mack was on the card. There's just so many talented people, Bandito, Flamita, they were all on the card. You know, here I am, 1 year in the business, opening the show for these guys, you know? So that
right.
was insane. Then he brought me to AAA, you know, and I made my debut with AAA because Conan
mm-hmm.
brought me over there. So when he hit me up and told me, yo, LAX, you and Slice, shit, let's do it, you know? That was a no-brainer, you feel me? And
right.
you know, Santana and Ortiz, man, those are my dudes, man. I got mad love for them guys. You know, seeing them, they had the man. So when I first started really getting around the indies, they were the LAX, you know, before them, Homicide
right.
and Hernandez. But it's
yep.
just, you know, it's a legacy. You know, it's a Latin American exchange. It's not identified by just two people, you know. It's the legacy. And all those men before me, you know, before me in Slice, carried the torch, carried
right.
those Latino, you know, flags proud, man. That I'm just happy to be able to do it next.
That's what's up. Brandon?
Absolutely, yeah. Hey, just after we had you on last time, Danny, we had your tag team champion partner, Papa West, on. I'm going to say Johnson about Cotton's hands. He was. I told him, I said, you don't want Papa Wesco's hands. But how's that scene going back to you and him? I know you just recently had a match, tag team match, I believe, recently, correct? I see.
With Papa?
Yeah.
Everything's good, man. Papa's a beast. That's a big heater right there. I feel like people are still sleeping on him. I feel like he's somebody who just needs a chance to show everybody what he could do. He's nasty on the mic. He looks like a monster. He is a monster, man. Give my boy Papa a shot.
Hell yeah. I can't wait to see him go for wrestler as well. Danny, not only are you a world-class wrestler, and we talked about that previously in the other show, you're also a world-class actor, and you've got, man, a new movie coming out, I believe August 8th, is that what we saw, August 8th or so? There's a screening on the 29th of this month, but called No Riv, kind of, you know, to give the listeners a little feel, you know, the synopsis. Joe Riv, a decorated, high-trained ex-Special Forces veteran who was thought to be dead for 3 years after a top-secret mission, returns home to avenge the death of his sister, who was brutally murdered by the sons of the big gangster in town at a nightclub. Kind of give us your thoughts on how did you come up with the title name, Joe Riv, and, you know, working with Mika Saad, the director, kind of how did you guys come about with this thing, film?
Man, so Joe Riv, man, I wrote the film in 2 days. It was obviously inspired by action films such as John Wick, Transporter. You think of those kind of action films. That's pretty much where the film was inspired from. But definitely a lot of it came from John Wick. And the name Joe Riv, you know, I think of, like, action heroes and action films. You know, you think John Wick. You think Jason Bourne. You know, actors Jason Statham. You know, it's always like that J name, you know, J and a sharp crisp finish to it. And I think that it was kind of cool to be able to sit there, and I was thinking of it, and I was like, man, you know, I could just take my last name, cut the last three letters off, and just put Riv. That gives me that sharp, you know, Born, Wick, Statham. You know, it gives me that, like, that power behind it. And that's my name. And I was like, fuck it, Joe, you know, Joe Riv. Yeah, that's where the name came from, you know, and we shot it all in one day. It was a 16-hour shoot day, very long, but we were all motivated. Everybody came ready to work. I wrote it, produced it, did my own stunts, coordinated everybody else's stunts, got the cast and crew together, you know, blessed to work with, you know, Egyptian filmmaker, award-winning Egyptian filmmaker, Mika Saad. You know, he directed it, and he had a great vision for the film. He's a great friend of mine and somebody that I'm actually working on this summer in a feature film called AFK. It's a horror film coming soon. So I get to work with him again, which is going to be awesome. And you know, just second unit director Nick Herms is a big stuntman in Hollywood. He's worked on Transformers, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, The Tax Collector, Three Kingdoms, American Sniper. You know, the list goes on and on. Scorpion King, you know, he's done a lot. He's had scenes with The Rock, Angelina Jolie, you know, like he's done a lot in his business, you know. And he came on to help with the film and give his experience and his expertise on things. And I'm actually going to be working with him in his upcoming feature film. So, like, it's just so much happening for me right now. We got the premiere July 29th, you know, at 7:30 in Las Vegas. Tickets are on sale now for $10. You know, they're out now. Make sure you get your tickets to go watch the premiere at 7:30. And we got accepted to 4 film festivals in the action world. And I'm excited because the ceremony is the 30th and 31st in Vegas. So we get to go there, do the premiere, do a little Q&A. Talk about the film, you know, and then watch everybody else's stuff, you know, learn, and then go to the ceremony and hopefully win some awards and hopefully get picked up to turn Joe Riv from a short film to a full feature film because I have a whole script ready.
Beautiful. Yeah, I can't wait. We'll have the link on our podcast and on our webpage, Facebook page as well. You can go on, buy your tickets. It'll be August 8th. Can't wait. Looking forward to seeing that movie. And it looked like you were doing. I was looking at your IMDb the other day, and it looks like you're working on a couple other films as well. As you mentioned as well. So, man, I don't know where you find time today to do all this stuff, but we'll take it.
Listen, very important story, very important lesson. You know, somebody told me one time, if every day you woke up and $86,400 was deposited to your bank account, at the end of the day, you lose all that money. You could spend it, and then every morning it's replenished. What would you do with that money in a day? You know, and obviously, you know, donate to charities, give to my family, you know, buy me a house, buy me a car that I wanted my whole life, you know, make sure my daughter's fucking college fund is taken care of. You know, we all have all these answers what we do with all that money. But every day we get 86,400 seconds in a day. You know, so what are you doing with those seconds? How are you spending that time? Time is more valuable than money, in my opinion. So I make sure that I can fit as much into my day as possible. You know, you're the fifth interview I did today. You know, so, like, I've been nonstop on phone calls and interviews. While at the same time, I have Nikos right here next to me, the director and producer
of Joe Riv. He's looking at hotels right now. He's looking up film stuff, you know, getting us ready. So the team is prepared for, you know, Joe Riv premiere this end of this month. You know, he's sitting here. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? Oh, look at this too. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. You know, we're doing our homework here. We're studying. We're learning. You know,
yeah.
He's been on South phone calls with guys like Dell and people that are working at these places where we're trying to get to. You know, he's helping put me out there. You know, he got us the team. You know, he doesn't take enough credit, but he did a lot of work to get the team into this festival. Four of them, finalist submission, semifinal submission. You know, so we're winning right now, man, as a team. And I think that with everything we have going on, this is the beginning. You know, once we go into production for AFK, where he's also producing and starring in, you know, working with director Muhammad. And I think that, you know, who's his new web show, Empanarcos, is on YouTube. Just look up Empanarcos. It's a great little web series that he directed. And he's directing the film AFK. And I think that we're going to kill it. My daughter's going to be in that film as well. So not only am I grinding, my people's grinding, and we winning.
I was going to ask you who else did anybody from the your wrestling brethren that kept you out in any type of stunt coordination or even acting in this, man? Who also is featured in the Joe Riv movie?
Who else featured in the Joe Riv movie?
Besides, I know you're the main guy. I'm talking about who else.
Yeah,
who else?
We got Blake Troop, Blake Bulletproof Troop from Championship Wrestling.
I know Bulletproof. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He plays one of the big bad guys in the film, and that's really it. I didn't really grab any wrestlers like that, you know. I just wanted to work with young aspiring actors and actresses and stunt people in Hollywood, help get their name out there. You know, I'm all about bringing my people on. My brother's song, you know, his name's Flo Fixa. His song, Get On My Level, is in the credits. My other boy, Loudmouth, he's a Marine Corps veteran who was a DJ. He just featured his new song, Bop It. Available on Spotify, iTunes, everywhere you get your music, and it's the opening song for the film. You know, it's on the soundtrack. And then another rapper, Royal Rashad, another aspiring rapper in LA, his new song, Whole Lot of Drip, is in the film. So like, I'm just about putting my people on, putting everybody on. Those that were there from day one, working with stunt people, Dan Masterson, Peter Kim, Chris Young, Hunter Smith, actresses Jasmine Cooner, Jeff Schreiner is the actor that does stunts as well. You know, we got a lot of good people there. And I'm super excited for everybody to see it.
Dan, I got one more. I got a request before I ask you this question. You still got your merch store open, or where can anybody, you know what I'm saying, get some good quality?
ProWrestlingTees.com/DannyLimelight and, you know, Cameo.com/DannyLimelight. That's where I get my merchandise at Pro Wrestling Tees. If you want a personalized video, Bobby's right here on Cameo.
Danny, like I said, I got one more, and I don't know if Brandon's got another one. Man, can you give me like next time you go live from the swimming pool, and you know what I'm saying, you are natural, you know what I'm saying? I know you're trying to get the lady. I know you're trying to get your viewership up, man. Just give us a warning. Give the guys a warning.
Man, that's the poppy koozie, you know what I'm saying? I'm you know, I'm just chilling. It's where I feel, you know, it's because, you know what it is? I don't have a lot of time in my day, right? I'm always busy doing stuff, you know. I keep myself busy. Jacuzzi is my time to recover my body. But at the same time, I still want to work. You know, I still want to network with my fans, meet people, talk to people. That's why I do the live thing. Because it's my rest time, but I'm still trying to work because I don't know how to take time off.
No, I'm just joking, man. I know you're super confident and cool. I think it's a cool way to I've been on a couple of them just to see, you know what I'm saying, just to chat up with you or just to see what's kind of going on with you, man. But, yeah, you have
see how
no
much
one,
games I got.
So what now?
Just to see how much gains I got in last week.
That's right.
Yeah, you've been getting a lot of love on there. How about that? I just keep it PC.
Well, Danny, man, it's a pleasure always to talk to you. Check him out on Twitter at Danny Limelight as well. Check him out in the MLW, new wrestling organization he's in. Check him out there. And Danny, my man, it's pleasure. So after this time we talk to you, who knows what's going to happen? You're going to be A-lister, superstar, and all that. Then that's right. We're going to get the good rub.
Get into the can. Got to hit the can.
Exactly.
We'll do another interview one day.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, Danny. Thanks, buddy. Take care. And fuck you.
All right, bye. You too, guys.
Hey, Limelight, the man that met the legend. Really interesting catching up with him. Check out his movie, Joe Riv, short movie. But check it out. It'll be on, first of all, so looking forward to that. But, John, we're going to now switch gears, and I don't know. This is almost a disrespect to Danny, to him. We're going to go from him to Deke join us.
Oh.
So, Deke, what's going on, my guy?
Oh, man. Love the interview. Before I get into my stuff, I got to tell you, one of the reasons also why I love the show, you guys are so versatile, man. Nobody's talking to pro wrestlers, right? You know, they got this rub against them. I love it, man. I don't get to watch it as much as I used to. I still love watching it from time to time. But I'm telling you, love the interview. Good questions, man. And I gotta check this. He's been on the show a few other times. I gotta check him out, man.
Oh yeah, he's been on AEW, and he's the dude's had damn good matches. John Moxley, which some people know him as Ambrose. You know, Kenny Omega, and he's just, dude, multi-talented. And as you heard, you know, not only can he do pro wrestling, but the dude's in there making movies, acting.
Yeah.
Great, so the props to him.
And Johnson trying to take a dig on somebody's age. Hey, you know you and Conan grew up together, man. Don't even try it.
That's true. That is true.
I started watching wrestling at a young age, man. I was like 4 or 5, so I do remember a lot of the guys.
Yeah.
I know off air we kind of talked about the late great Bobo Brazil
over this past weekend.
A great Midwestern guy, you know what I'm saying, that wrestled Dick the Bruiser and everybody else in between here in St. Louis
and
Detroit.
My
wrestling, you know what I'm saying, knowledge spans to the 70s and to the present day.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I tell you, if you all have an opportunity, his son was Calypso Jim. He was also known as Bobo Brazil Jr. And
really? I did not
name.
Know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know his son was Calypso Jim. I didn't know that.
When I worked rent-to-own years ago, he was one of my customers, man. Couldn't have been one of the nicer people, man. We sat and talked one day. I was going out to drop something off. Man, we talked for probably an hour and a half, just wrestling, man. And at the time, his dad was sick. And he talked about his dad in such a glowing light, about how he showed him how to handle his business, be a man. I'm telling you, man, if you have an opportunity, I don't know if he still live here in Indy or not, but if he does, man, he'd be a good get, man, on an interview talking about his dad and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Nice. Night.
Yeah.
Hold on a sec. I'm gonna Reggie. We'll get you on in a moment.
Oh,
he
Lord,
says he's about to
tee
up on
mercy.
Somebody. But
oh,
first,
okay,
before I get to
you,
on, before that, I got to talk to you because this past weekend, you boys had a top 5 talk. Between you two, you and Jonathan, kind of started getting a little bit that we need to save a show. So just hear it out.
Well, here's my thought, right? And you know, when we talk about Kobe and players and tops and this, it seems like it's always the Bron guys trying to knock the Kobes and the MJs to lift their guy up. And that's what I was speaking to, right? So as a Pacer fan, I've seen – Jordan kill us, Bron kill us, and Kobe kill us, right? I'm going to tell you,
absolutely,
in this order, my fear, MJ first, Kobe second, Bron third, and here's why. MJ, I remember the 96 Game 7. We're up, I think, 6 points. I had no thought that it went in the fourth quarter. No thought we were going to win the game. None. Secondly, Kobe. 2000 series. I'm in the stadium.
Oh, man.
Jumping
thriller.
Up and down. Shaq fouls out. We got him.
He's thrilling.
The worst thing that could have ever happened. I remember Kobe looking at the crowd.
Can you hear me?
I remember Kobe looking at the crowd saying to himself, you all have no idea what I'm about to do. See, after that, at that point, I said, there's no way I would have thought anybody would have gave me that Jordan feeling. Kobe not only did that,
He dominated the game. I think if I remember, we were up a few points at the time when Shaq fouled out. So we had a buffer.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that type of guy, it's big game. I'm not talking about, you know, you 38-point, you know, games and during the season, all this and whatever, taking these guys to the finals. I'm talking about a straight killer, a guy when it matters. Those two guys, Jordan, Kobe, and then Bron. There's no way I would, for me, and again, they all killed my boys. There's no way for me I would take, and not because he's passed away, I would take him over Kobe. I saw it up close and personal, man. And then playing against
Brandon.
Cleveland, we had our chances.
What?
We had our chances.
Brandon.
Danny Granger.
The history lesson that Decott just ran up this game is all factual. Okay? It is.
Man.
Oh,
however,
I see.
However, he must have read my mind because he must have knew who was in my top five. Because
let me tell you. Of course I do. Listen, I'll follow you. Jonathan, I'll follow you. I know who's in your top five. But check this out. The other thing, think about this. Miami Heat Pacers 2013, I think. We're up. We're going to go up 3-1. We got an opportunity to go through. We're in Banker's Life. Danny Granger decides he wants to be Robert Horry and shoots us right out the game. We lose the game. That's the game when Dwayne Wade was pouting. If you all remember, he was pouting.
Yep.
And he was on the bench. That's the game. We lost that game, and that lost us the series. It wasn't because of Bron. Ron wasn't our pain. Our pain was us, Dwayne Wade, and Chris, and a little bit of Chris Bosh. Yeah, Ron was great. Don't get me wrong. I get all that. But you don't take away from those other guys. Don't take away from those other guys. Ron didn't kill us. He didn't kill us, and that's all I'm saying. I saw, man, Kobe will rip your heart out and feed it to you.
Oh, absolutely.
I've never seen Ron do that, and that's all I'm saying. That was my point with regard to
young Ron did. I think Young Bron did it. He did against that Detroit team.
Yeah, I'm talking about it. What I'm saying is, you know, the fear. I never, going to the games, and Reggie will tell you all when he was on, I never feared that guy, even if we were going to win or lose. But Kobe and Jordan, I never wanted to see those guys in the playoffs.
Right.
Ever.
I agree with everything you said, but it was no disrespect to put Kobe in top. I think Kobe Bryant was in the top 10, probably somewhere
right
between 6, 7, and 8.
Hey, John.
All right,
he's been on hold. I put him on hold, so now we got to hear what you got to say.
Bring him in.
King of Troy. What's going on? King of Trolls.
Oh, he's gone. We lost him. He's gone. Got to hang
Hello.
Up.
Hello.
We lost
gone.
Him.
Hello. Hey. I'm just teeing off. I'm going to get here real quick. For once, I agree with one thing Deacock's saying, but how the hell are you going to leave Akeem off? You know, Akeem was a great-ass player. People couldn't guard him or nothing. That was a great interview with the guy doing the wrestling.
My next take is, tonight, take the over. My next take is, Deacock don't know Jack. He didn't even mention who just passed away in wrestling, the wrestling way. You know, I used to watch Junkyard Dogs, Brewster.
Are you kidding me?
Bruiser and everything,
you
know?
He had the best power driver in the business. He had the jump power driver. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but you didn't bring it up. You forgot about him. That's because you don't know squat. You know what I'm saying?
So we were talking about basketball, son.
Look, I'm skipping all over because I'm on 17 cold. Brandon wouldn't let me play with him last week.
17 hole.
I didn't hit around 8 fairways. I'm playing pretty good. They played that on the back end.
Oh, wow.
Played that on the front end. Good on the front. Deacock cooks. When Deacock grills, he cooks beef jerky. Oh, man.
Oh, and by the way,
his grilling skills are horrible.
I've got both of you on here.
I'm all over the place.
I've got both of you on here, but nobody's played this bet yet.
I told you, I'm taking the and over.
No, Deacock didn't. Deacock lost his bet. I haven't seen a Facebook picture change yet.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Thanks for reminding me for 2 weeks. I'm going to take care of that tonight.
Well,
thanks for reminding
we'll work it out. See what we can do.
No, you taking that tonight, boy. When I get to work, get the picture up.
Listen, statute of limitations is over, man. It's been over a week.
Wrong answer.
We got
I got to go because I got to finish up and I got guys waiting on me.
Love the show. I'm going to go back and listen to it. Brandon, next week, let's get out and play, man.
Not good, brother.
Let's
take it easy.
Let's get out and play next week, Brandon.
Take care, Red.
Hey, but I'm going to tell
all
you.
All right.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. But I'll just say this. I know we got to talk about the top 10 and some other things. I want to hit real quick. If Shaq wasn't out of weight, overweight, and out of shape in 04, Kobe'd have another ring. You never saw a six eight guy outplay Shaq. Are you kidding me? You gonna give Ben Wallace that much love? Come on. Come on, man. He put the clamps on Shaq. So I'll call again the next show. I want to talk about that Orlando documentary where he was pouting about Penny. He has a history of that. Yeah. And I know Reggie said he had to go. My cousin had a flat tire up here in Anderson. I'm going in to go check him out, make sure he's okay.
Man, there's always a flat tire up in Anderson.
I don't know what it is, man. I'm just going to deal with it.
All right. Take care.
Hey, appreciate you guys.
Lost him.
Oh, we lost
all right, we're going to go from that to our other guy, Fred Filner, Cape Connection. What's going on, Fred?
Yo, I call in, and the first thing, we have Ben Wallace slander on the line. Like, come on,
that was
man.
Good, Ben Wallace. Hey. Talking about taking Shaq.
Dude, all I got to say is if ifs were fifths, we'd all be drunk. But, you know, if Shaq was in better, if
there you go.
This happened, if that happened, pay respect to the world champions and one of the best defensive teams of all time.
Absolutely. So what do you think, man?
I'm being silly, but I'm being serious at the same time. It's all good. What's happening, fellas?
Brent,
go ahead, John.
You, man, what's kind of your what's some of your thoughts around? Have you watched any of the finals?
Oh, absolutely. You already know. Like, especially this year, it's refreshing because we don't have the X-Men versus the Avengers, so. It's just, you know, good old-fashioned basketball. So it's anybody's game. So it's super exciting. It's been interesting to see the pendulum kind of swing with the narrative of, like, oh, Sun, you know, the Suns will probably win in five or six. And, you know, then the Bucks come out and blow the Suns out. Like, Middleton's been real streaky. Like, he's an all-star, but sometimes
right.
he doesn't show it. Man, if he and Giannis are both on, man. Like, it's crazy, like, producing offensively the way that they do at will. And CP3, you know, has been kind of like he'll have an out-of-this-world game and then he'll look human again. And
right.
so it's – but, I mean, you're at this stage of the game. You can't expect dudes to come out there and just drop a 50-piece every, you know, every night of the finals. So at this stage of the game, everybody's just kind of tired and beat up and – you know, so, but it's anybody's series. I mean, I still think it's the Suns, and I really hope it's the Suns. I want to see CP3 get a ring. Giannis will get his. If he doesn't this year, it's not panic mode. And hopefully he stays loyal to the city like he said he would. So, yeah, I mean,
right.
I hope the Suns win. I still think Suns in six, but we'll see. Looking forward to it.
Well, the team that you cheer for is talking about, well, you know, Houston's interested. The Rockets are interested in trading for the number one pick. I doubt that happens. I think Houston, unless they make them some kind of great offer that they can't refuse, like there's been rumor about Eric Gordon going to Detroit, but that's not an offer that I could be willing to, regardless of it, whatever other draft assets that might kind of come with the number overall pick. I know in a couple of episodes past, you were kind of rock solid on Cade Cunningham. You kind of still sticking to those still sticking to that vision of Detroit picking him number one overall.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be something exciting to talk about before the draft. Like, it's boring to just be like, oh yeah, Cade Cunningham's gonna be a Piston. You know, you
gotcha.
Gotta have some drama and narratives changing and rumors and speculation, like. You know, anything could happen. The Pistons could trade their pick for the Pacers. Like, you let's throw out all these, you know, it's like Marvel with the multiverse. Like, let's just throw all these random scenarios out of what could. Yeah, all those things could happen. Are they going to? Hell no. Like, the Pistons are picking the number one pick. Yeah, they might be enamored with Jalen Green and the way he's playing, but I don't see them going elsewhere. I still feel like they're going to draft Cade. But the thing is, at least they're in that position where it's like Jalen Green or Cade Cunningham. Both of those dudes are going to be like phenoms. So either of those guys are going to come to your team immediately and throw the jersey on day one and make a difference on your team. So, that I mean, if you ask me, that's a hell of a position to be in. So.
Okay. Okay. Fred? Fred, so WWE-wise, they're going back finally to their official live crowds this Friday, and they're saying that SummerSlam, they're going to be hyping it and planning it to be bigger than WrestleMania. Right now, it's looking like on a collision course with Roman Reigns and John Cena. Cena's probably coming back here at the end of the month for a match, and then Edge against Seth Rollins. Right now is your top dog. What's your thought? I'm looking at it. I think Reigns and Cena, I think that might be, with everyone's out there, if it's Lesnar coming back against Reigns right now, I think you might as well get Cena. He's been out of the picture long enough. I think that's going to get, I think people will enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, they could throw anything out there. I think the main thing is people are just excited to get back to a live crowd. Allegiant Stadium, I've only obviously just seen pictures. I know people that have been around Vegas and they've sent me pictures like on site. That place, that stadium looks insane. Like, it looks like it's just from the future. Like, it's bizarre. So that'll be a crazy venue. I think just people are just excited to have wrestling back and to have a live audience. I feel like the SummerSlam thing, it's kind of the same method, like they're just kind of going back to the old names, like which well can we go back to bring back to have star power? Because really, I mean, if you hear about WWE right now, really the only thing I hear from people that watch the product is, oh man, Roman Reigns on front, that storyline with Roman Reigns, that's the only thing I hear about. So like, you're kind of wondering, like, where are the other stars in the matches coming from? But those two, you know, you got Edge coming back and then you got Cena coming back. Now, don't get me wrong, Cena and Reigns, that match will be awesome. That match will deliver. My question is, where do they go with this Reigns storyline and how long can they, you know, milk it out for? Because if you're thinking, a lot of people are speculating Reigns is going to face The Rock, April's a long ways away. April's a long ways away. So, like, you're just going to keep feeding people to Reigns until April and then he's going to face The Rock.
I'd love to see a triple threat between them.
You said what?
I'd love to see a triple threat between those three at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hell, that would be fun. My only thing is, like, where do they go? Like, where? Because to me, it's like, to me, in my opinion, for me, if you're building someone up on this level, on this magnitude, there has to be a passing of the torch, and it can't be to a part-timer or a legend, alumni, whatever you want to call them. So who is the person that's going to come back and dethrone Reigns? And don't say Lesnar or any of those things. You know, like, I'm talking person on current roster. Who is going to – they built him up to be Mr. Universe now. Now you kind of booked yourself into a corner because you have to put somebody over to kind of step in place, and it's like – I don't know. I'm asking you because I don't really follow the product. Like, who would step in for Reigns right now and Reigns do the favors to like, pass the torch from this storyline that's been ongoing for, like, a year?
I have a true answer. If I had one, that it would be a perfect scenario. I'd eat it up and love it. It would be the CM Punk. That would be the only thing I could see that would have a namesake that you can even include the Paul thing into it, where it would swerve everybody, and I think somehow people would get over the fact of what Reigns has done over the last year or so, mowing through everybody, that even Punk come back and win a world title. I think that would be – that's about the only way you can back yourself out of a corner. Exactly right. I don't know who else you can
do. Yeah, that kind of harkens back to all that. It could happen. Is it going to
happen? Yeah.
They're kind of in this weird position where it's like, yeah, this has been a great storyline. This is the best Reigns has been, both character and wrestler-wise, but now you've built him up to such a degree. I mean, he pinned Edge and Bryan like a sack of garbage at WrestleMania. Like, so
yeah.
He's that big now, and he deserves it. I'm a fan. I've met him. I got his autograph. Like, for all the hate that he's received, you know, like, it's not his fault, you know, that the booker goes a certain way with the pencil. I've always appreciated Reigns and his attitude and his work ethic, and, you know, so it's no diss to him. It's just, where did they go from here? Because if you're a lifelong wrestling fan, you hate to play Super Booker because you always get disappointed at the outcome. It's never as cool or as fun as you had hoped it up to be. But at least as a wrestling fan, you're kind of like, what's next? Like, you're thinking of the future, like, man, they're building them up so big. Like, and that's kind of where my brain is with
right.
it. I'm not just like, oh, SummerSlam's going to be a good show. To me, I'm thinking like a year from now, like, yeah, that'll be cool. But like, where I'm wondering who's going to go over on Reigns.
Could be who we talked about from last year that we all would get that shot, be Big E?
Possibly. They just haven't. I mean, they would have to start building him up. And I honestly think that should be the direction they go in instead of The Rock. I mean, I think The Rock's obviously a bigger marquee match, but Mania's Mania.
Right.
People are going to show up regardless.
Right.
But to build up somebody, Big E is one of the most believable people on the current active roster that could go toe-to-toe with him and that will get that sort of Kofi-esque, Kofi Mania support from the crowd. Any of those New Day guys, I mean, they were voted the best tag team of all time recently. Like,
good job.
People love them. Yeah, right.
That was
kayfabe-wise.
That was probably my next question. This is a short question, man. Short response. Because I kind of stomached through at least 20 out of the 50 greatest tag teams the WWE said they was, and I'm glad they put the Hart Foundation in the top 10. I just kind of had a problem with the placement of some of the guys that they mentioned. Again, a lot of those I know they're dealing in the now, so that's why New Day was number one overall, and they deal with, like, how many times they've won either brand title. I get that. And it's not that they haven't had some great matches, but I just could not put them over the incarnation of Jim Neidhart and Bret Hart. I could not. I think that's the best WWE brand tag team that I've ever seen.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And you think about all the classic feuds that they had. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's really been on that level to produce those kind of matches at that level. And that was early in the game. This wasn't like seasoned vet Bret Hart. Like, this was early in the game, still cutting his teeth, Bret Hart. So
right.
that was
right.
like the potential was still there to be who he was and who he became. So that blows your mind even more. This wasn't some like pitted tag where it was like, oh, it's the best there is, the best there wasn't, and this dude that like tucks on his goatee, like, no, this was, you know,
right.
Right. trying to prove himself. So, yeah,
right.
I see, I don't really give the sexy answers for the, like, who my favorites are, because it's like, I mean, I love Dean Malenko. I love Chris Benoit. I know I'm not supposed to say that, but I love Chris Benoit as a wrestler, as a human being.
Right.
That's a secular discussion, but as a wrestler. I mean, I got to see Benoit versus The Rock at the Joe, third row, and it was just, man. And I was more so, I mean, yeah, it was cool seeing The Rock, but I was almost as equally as hyped about seeing Benoit. Regal,
yeah.
You know, but like my tag team's like, dude, Rock and Roll Express, they got to be in your top five. If they're not in your top five, it's like, man, we're not friends. We're not friends. I'm turning my back to you, cold shoulder. And I'm an old school guy, like Brainbusters, dude, the Brainbusters, like,
yeah.
I prefer
those. As far as tag teams, my brain always goes more old school than it is modern, because tag team, until the Bucks came around, tag team was that art of wrestling was just a dying art, largely in part to Vince and the only company really not really showing anything for it up until New Day. So it's kind of been a dying division.
I'll tell you this. You know, WWE Network, well, / Peacock, I've been pretty upset the last couple weeks because, A, the day of, they pulled the Lex documentary that was going to come out, Lex Luger. And then last week, because Skull said with Kevin Nash, like, I don't know if NBC is the one to say, we're not going to air this right now. But there was a lot of people pissed off in the last 2 weeks with that stuff.
This is what happens when corporations take over and handle stuff as opposed to people that actually care about it. And that's the sad part about it, because all of us on the phone here, millions of people watching at home, as they say, all of us love this stuff. And all we want is something simple where we boop, click the button on our remote, and then it pulls up, you know, the app, and then there's years, and there's pay-per-view names, and you can search by star, and you click, and then you go to the match, and you can skip to the next match. Like, it's not hard. But when you have some dude in a three-piece suit at NBC, some executive named Scott or something that drives a Miata, and he doesn't care about, he doesn't know anything about wrestling. So they're like, oh, put it in there, like, with seasons, like The Office. And it's like, bruh, like, wrestling doesn't work like television. Like,
and that's the most confusing thing for me in there is trying to figure out, find a certain pay-per-view from a year. Most confusing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and the selling point, too, for them, at least for me, was, like, all the old ECW TV and the ECW pay-per-views and, like, the old Nitros and the old WCW shows. Like, that was the old – I wasn't even watching WWE, and I had the network because I was watching ECW and WCW. Like, and now it's, like, you got some, like, maybe Slamborees on there, maybe Fall Brawl, and, like, maybe – Halloween Havoc here and there, but like it isn't as, you know, stocked as it was when it was on the network. And it just, it goes to show you as a wrestling fan that that company does not care about wrestling fans. They don't. And if they did, they would have an app that works, that satisfies people. And I know we're in the era where nobody's satisfied, but come on, dude, from one wrestling fan to another, you mean to tell me, name one person, I want one person, it could be a Crossroads sports person, hit me up on Twitter, at the letter K, FABE Connection. I want one person that says something positive about Peacock as a wrestling fan. You're not going to be able to find anybody. You're not going to, there will be no tweets. So that's the thing, this is the thing when I'm called a hater, or, oh, what do you got against WWE? It's like, this is the problem that I have, because they don't, it's not some made up narrative or some like angle. It's in your face. Like, they don't hide it. They do not care about wrestling fans. So if they did, they wouldn't take the money and run. Shout out to Steve Miller Band. So, you know,
well, Fred, I think we got like 2 more minutes, man, before we have to wrap the show. I got to ask you one, if you can answer it like in 30 seconds, man. What was the coolest thing about taking the picture and meeting Mean Gene?
So the thing I always wanted to ask him was the most absurd thing was when he yelled, put that cigarette out.
Thank you.
On pay-per-view. On live pay-per-view. The trivia answer to next time you're at a cocktail party, impress your friends, the trivia answer to the question, who was Mean Gene yelling to put that cigarette out? It was John McCall. It was some WWE agent who lit up a cigarette. They had already warned him pre-pay-per-view, do not smoke in the halls. Do not smoke where there's promos. Dude lit up a cigarette. Mean Gene on pay-per-view shouted at this dude. Zero Fs given. Hey, put that cigarette out. That was what I asked him. That's all we talked about. He was amazing. It was my childhood, you know, all in front of me and live and in color. It was crazy. So he was a great guy. Rest in peace to a legend.
Okay, perfect. Freddie, thanks for coming in, my man, and we'll get you on. We'll see you again next week.
Had fun as always. Take care, guys.
See you, Fred. All right, John, that's Fred Felton, KFAB Connection. Last thing I have for you, John, 3.5 minutes. Number one, Conor McGregor breaks his leg, still talks shit in the ring. The dude's overrated on MMA. All he is, he can buy pay-per-views and put your butts in seats. Italy yep. won UEFA championship. I actually watched the game. I don't watch soccer. Watched that one. That was awesome. Sherman, who I always called your twin, well, he was arrested today, threatening to kill himself and was drunk and disorderly, domestic abuse. Richard Sherman's got some problems. Hopefully he gets that figured out. Yep. And then last thing, John, Black Widow, have you watched it yet? It's on my list. Watch coming soon. Maybe tomorrow.
Black what? Black Swan?
Black Widow.
Oh, Black Widow. I went to the movie seen that, man. Yeah, dude. That, you know, the world's opening back up, man. I enjoy watching Marvel movies. Not necessarily on the app. I like to watch them in person. And wasn't terrible. Wasn't necessarily overly – we're talking about a two-year-old movie, you know what I mean, with some storylines because all the Marvel movies connect, right? And so a lot of the movie takes place in the past or before. We kind of saw a big home run movie. If anybody watched Infinity Wars or Endgame. So this movie obviously takes place before all that. I would give it, out of 10 stars, I'd give it 6.5. It's about as good as Captain Marvel, the Captain Marvel movie that came out a couple years ago.
Yep.
I had some issues with that as well. But I liked it. It's a great action movie. It tries to be like, what's that one movie with Born Identity? Kind of tries to
yep.
be like that, but with a little Marvel flair to it.
Gotcha.
And I don't necessarily they didn't necessarily land it, but it was a good entertaining watch. Better than playing $20. You got to pay $29 on the app to do it. But you know, man, all you get is the
Space
movie.
Jam out this Friday. We'll be watching it.
Oh yeah.
By the
sure.
way, if you're a patient, man, cover your eyes because apparently the open credit of the movie, LeBron hits a shot to beat the Pacers, is what they show. So cover your eyes.
Well, at least we got in the movie, man, for sure.
Yeah. Great show tonight, guys. Another two-hour show. Great. Danny, I'm like calling in. Reggie calling in. Deacock calling in. Fred calling in. Our faves. Danny Lyon, another great interview. Check out his new movie, Go Riv. Came out with his new wrestling promotion. Danny is awesome. John, I'll let you have your final statement. Close us out, my man.
Like Brandon said, thanks for everybody, you know what I'm saying, friends of the program for calling in. Thanks for Danny Limelight, Mr. Limelight, Mr. TV, Mr. I'll appear on anybody's wrestling show, wrestling program. You never know. But, like, yeah, thanks for everybody for tuning in and calling in tonight. And how could we do all this without our sponsors, whether that's Maverick Custom Motorsports or even Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance. Ladies and gentlemen, please, I implore you, you know what I'm saying, support us and support. The best way to support us is, of course, listening, but also supporting our, you know what I'm saying, going on our sponsors' websites and clicking their links on their page and seeing what they have to offer as far as services. Either, you know what I'm saying, if you're trying to, you know what I'm saying, get accessorized for your cars or your motorcycle or your sling, like the commercial says, or if you're looking for insurance from a house or life insurance or what have you, you know what I'm saying, check out Scott K. Nichols. For sure. So definitely click those links. And like I said, like Brent, we could not do that show. We could not do the show without our sponsors. Outside of that, man,
absolutely.
We'll have an even better show next week. 2 hours just ain't enough. Until then, thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads sports content.